listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 222 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford, and I'm sitting right next to you.
You are. That's really weird, isn't it?
I know, isn't it?
I'm used to hearing this ethereal voice.
Do you think we'll have a better show because we're sitting next to each other?
Do you think the dynamic, the energy, the power in this relationship?
Well, Laura already knows we need it at the moment because we got nuclear war on the horizon, potentially. I'm sure it won't happen. There's some serious weather stuff going on in the Atlantic at the moment, which is not to be laughed at, really, because actually, as we speak, there's some horrendous hurricane ripping through.
The thing I don't get about that is, like, how can people, like dear Trumpy, say that, global warming is a nonsense when all the things that are being predicted are starting to come to pass? You know, the idea that you can have 20 inches of rain in a day kind of thing.
Yeah, it's crackers, man. It's crazy. I mean, we have hurricanes every year, don't we? Or that part of the world does, but this is a notch up. And in fact, I think they've had to kind of change the scale of the amount of rainfall there was in Texas.
Absolutely huge, unprecedented.
And this storm that's going at the moment is the wind speed of highest ever recorded. I don't know. We're not talking about climate change. There are other podcasts that focus on that. And if you're an anxious person, kind of naturally, I wouldn't listen to them. But we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And Sean and I will put you right today. We're talking about food and sleep, aren't we? Foods that can help promote a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Would you say?
I'm kind of motivated to do this because of we're coming up to the change of seasons.
Yeah.
And when we get the change of seasons, that's when our whole circadian rhythms change. Mm. And I'm dealing with quite a lot of people at the moment who have top sphincter, the cardiac sphincter in their stomach.
There are two sphincters I have learned.
Yeah, there's
this
one at the top and one at the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you swallow something, it goes down into your stomach and that sphincter keeps it down in the acid. But if that sphincter begins to leak, then you get reflux into the esophagus, and that's when you get the problems.
Just going to put my laptop down.
Yeah.
So it can cool off nicely. We'll come on to that. Let's not get too deep in. We may have some new listeners. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look. Lots of links from this week's show. All previous episodes are there too. Stick your email address in one of the boxes on the site and we'll send you weekly alerts for this show, and you can get some free meditation files as well.
Yep.
Not too shabby. And our book, we have books in stock, don't we?
We do.
Live in the Present. And if you do put your email address in, you'll be sent a discount code for said book and you won't regret it.
And you get a digital version as well.
That's right, yeah, it's very clever when it works.
We've got some new stuff that will be coming out over the next few months into that, the freebie packs.
Things are happening.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Sean? How's tricks?
Been on holiday, been down to Italy, which has been an absolute gas. Brilliant.
Drove down, did you?
Yeah, 2-day drive down. Good drive, though. Easy driving on the continent.
Yeah.
And then driving back up. And driving back up, I'm thinking, why on earth are we leaving the EU? What on earth are we doing?
I know.
Absolutely crazy.
It's weird. I've become almost kind of semi-religious about the Remain campaign. It's still being fought, dear folks. I haven't given up. But I just don't get it, man. I don't get it.
I
understand why people lashed out, but...
Yeah, but there's a difference between lashing out and being kind of cutting your head
and
off.
And chopping your head off, yeah. Gee whiz.
Did you see the survey that came out in France this week where over 50% of the French people said that they would rather that we left the EU...
That's what this part of me thinks. Maybe we are better off out because that project will do better without us kind of snapping at the heels all the time. And
maybe.
I could talk for ages about that. But, I mean, it doesn't make any sense because, the Conservatives all of a sudden are saying how anti-EU they are when a lot of the major things in the EU were put forward by us when Conservatives were in power.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy, but, flipping heck.
So I've been to Italy. Where have you been?
I've been to Northumberland.
Yep.
Okay, which I think we did a podcast from there last week. Mm. I'm still up there, weren't we?
Yeah. Which was that lovely. One where we actually got the sound to work?
Yeah, we did two from up there, actually. Yeah, the first one a couple of weeks ago, I apologise, was not the best sound quality.
We need to have, you know, like the BBC have, we need to have trucks with big dishes on the roof and stuff like that.
Can we afford that?
Bounce it off satellites and stuff.
Yeah, but no, I had 2.5 weeks up there, disconnected. I explained quite a bit about it in the last week's show. If you haven't listened, actually, in terms of how I kind of got by for a couple of weeks without email at all, and my anxiety that kind of led up to the turning things back on again and whether I did it the right way around or not. But it was a brilliant holiday. Good weather. But I was ready to come back, actually, and the lads are back in school now, or Will is, and Jacob's kind of doing his preschool thing, so they're all looking cute in their little uniforms. And
yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I like my life, man. I like my little routine of cycling to work and dropping the boys off, so it's quite good to get back in that little habit.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you? Are you glad to be back?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a bit like hit the ground running kind of stuff, because I've had a phenomenal amount to do this week. And then I'm off to Qatar next week.
You're saying it properly and everything?
Yeah, I'm getting good now.
Very good.
Yeah. So getting a lot of stuff done this week. And then, like I say, away next week. So quite busy.
Let's move on to sleep then. So when you're on holiday, how did your sleep pattern change? We'll come on to the food stuff in a bit. But, like, did you sleep well instantly when you went away and then... Or did it take a bit of
unplugging? My sleep pattern's pretty good. One of the things that Ree will say to me, she gets a bit kind of frustrated because I just go to bed, put my head on the pillow and go to sleep.
But you sleep like 4 hours a night or something, you're like Maggie
Well,
Thatcher,
I tend to, I tend to sleep less hours than a lot of other people, but then the meditation, you know, takes that.
That's when you can recharge.
Since I've been back from being away... I've been waking up about 3 o'clock in the morning, but then what I'll do is I'll do like an hour's meditation and then go back to sleep for a bit.
Wow.
Yeah. But when I'm in Qatar, I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is 5 o'clock their time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I think that my system, one of the things we're talking about, this is circadian rhythms, and my system gets a bit confused sometimes as to where I am.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can be waking up at 3 o'clock here, and it's like my body's going, okay, come on, let's get on with it. Okay, off we go.
Yeah. 2 hours difference, I guess that's, could be worse, really, especially with you going over so often.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about once you got back from holiday? I'll talk about me as well in a sec, but did you get, you're fine sleeping, or you're talking about this blood pressure app you've got on your phone?
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite interesting.
And that's interesting, yeah. I've got this blood pressure app on my iPhone.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Cardio, but with a Q rather than a C.
And no U.
Yeah, yeah. And I take my blood pressure regularly on it just to check it.
I'll link to it in the show notes, folks, of course.
When I go to Qatar, I tend to do it because of the planes and stuff. I just check it, just check what's going on. And the thing that always makes me laugh is by the time I've been in Qatar for a couple of days, my blood pressure just drops straight down.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, you're getting away from your work here, which is pretty full.
I think that my issue is that I work too many hours and I have to change that, I think. Yeah. And when I'm in Qatar, I work from 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. It finishes. That's the day. It's done. Yeah. Everybody goes home at 3.
Wow.
You know, And then I do a lot of chilling.
Well, Sean showed me the stats on his phone, and it was pretty stark, actually, at the blood pressure change.
You can see it dropping right there.
I could do with checking that for me, really, because there's blood pressure issues in my family and cholesterol stuff.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
It'd be quite interesting to know. Especially, when you do have an expected dip when you're going away or on holiday or something, it'd be really interesting to see. Because high blood pressure... isn't good, right?
It kills you.
Yeah, it's a killer,
it
folks.
It kills you.
Okay, sleep-wise for me, I'm not as good as you, really. No, I do sleep well on the whole. I have two young boys, as regular listeners will know. So their sleep patterns are good, but they generally kind of wake at some point in the night and do something mad, or they'll shout out, or run through to the bedroom, or just be randomly awake. I'll generally, at some point every night for the last, 5 years since I've been a dad, I've had interrupted sleep.
Yeah.
Which I'm used to, and I'm fine, really. And it's a lot better now than it was, to be fair. And they are good sleep. They are generally really good sleepers. It's just these little blips every night.
I think that is really tough now. In previous generations where the woman stayed at home and was the housewife kind of thing, and the man went out to work and was the breadwinner, that balance between, you know, the kids... When both of you are going out to work and both of you have got to get up and both of you have got to sort the world out, you know, it puts a tremendous pressure on a couple, on a family unit, you know?
Yeah, true.
And as when we have big extended families, everybody got looked after, we got smaller and smaller and smaller, didn't we?
But I will say as well, when we're up in the northeast, and really tucked away in the middle of nowhere, really, where our caravan is, we do sleep really well as a family, all of us.
Do the kids sleep differently as well?
Yeah. I mean, often we'll just all end up in the same bed together, just all snoring. But they'll sleep much later into the morning, like 8,
but
half 8.
Is that because you haven't got any technology up there? Have they not got kind of iPads and stimulus and stuff?
Exactly, yeah. There's no Wi-Fi. So they don't have... Yeah, they don't have Netflix and YouTube Kids to watch before bed and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think that is something... and in this podcast, I'm linking to a particular newsletter, which is worth a read. We're looking at the first half of what they're talking about, which is food. The second half is about the environment that you go to sleep in.
Yeah.
And it's that issue we've spoken about it before on here, where most people's bedrooms are no longer rooms that they sleep in. They're kind of multimedia hubs that they happen to go to sleep in as well.
Mm.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's interesting that you're saying that the boys sleep well without their technology.
Yeah, but also if we come on to food a little bit, our diet when we're up there changes. I mean, we eat well here anyway, but the setup in our caravan, which is off grid, there's no electricity. We have a little gas boiler for like this is a shower and hot water, which is like quite a luxury. But we only have this tiny little gas-powered fridge, which you can't get much in. There's a little freezer, but you could barely get, like, a can of Coke in it. Not that you'd want to freeze a can of Coke. Well, maybe you would. It'd be quite a good experiment. So we have to live a bit more day-to-day, food-wise, so we're not getting things out of the freezer, like fish fingers or whatever. We live on fresh food that's in the fridge that's basically been bought that morning at the grocer's down the road.
Yeah.
So maybe, because we come on to food in this article that we're going to link to that sparked today's show.
Yeah.
Talk about food do's and don'ts sleep.
Yeah.
Go on then, take it away.
Interesting. Well, okay, so what we're looking at, and I put it in the blog that goes with this.
Yeah.
Is that the first thing is, for me, is that as we go through this change from summer through autumn into winter, our bodies change and our needs of sleep change, but also our food patterns change.
Yeah.
So that in the winter, people tend to eat more kind of stodgy stuff, which is more kind of full of kind of heavy calories that keep you warm.
In Northern Europe, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and also in the carbs and all that stodgy stuff is you get more serotonin. So we do that kind of naturally.
Yeah.
But because people's sleep patterns change and the need for sleep increases in the winter, because if you think about it, as you go north up the globe, many mammals do the equivalent of hibernation or kind of semi-hibernation. They start to do less.
Yep.
They slow down, they eat more, they sleep a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do? We carry on going.
The exact same.
We carry on doing like 12-hour shifts and all that kind of stuff. And we keep going when our systems are actually saying, you shouldn't be doing this, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So in a perfect world, if Sean were Prime Minister or President of the UK or whatever we're going to end up with in the next few years, or dictator, shorter working hours in the winter months.
Yeah. One of the things that industry hasn't got hold of, and commerce generally, is that if people work less hours, their productivity goes up.
Yeah, well, I'm a politics nut at the moment. I'm hooked. But I'm interested in it. And, yeah, productivity in the UK has been struggling for years, actually. And no one can give an answer why, really.
Yeah.
Personally, well, me and you work our backsides off, and most people I know do as well.
Yeah.
So why aren't we productive? It's a really core question. I'm guessing that politicians, and I know a few, and they work hard, and I don't want to be one of those people that slags them off, probably aren't looking in the right place for why that is the case, are they?
Yeah. But the idea of heads down, nose to the grindstone, keep going, doesn't actually work. We know that on mm-hmm. so many levels, and yet we keep doing it.
Yeah.
So Einstein, definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing the same way, expecting a different result. Yeah, bonkers.
I'm thinking we could make a fortune as kind of government advisors.
Do you think? We should. Yeah, I think we should.
What are our terms, though? Rejoin the EU. Scrap all that lark for a start.
Yeah, do.
Shorter working hours in the winter.
Yep.
What else are we talking? Well, let's talk about some specific food, good and bad foods that we would recommend.
Well, one of the things that happens is that, and it's the first on the list here, is that people, when they're starting to get tired, tend to up their intake of caffeine, because we know caffeine gives you a buzz.
I've got a caffeine story in a bit, but carry on. Yeah.
So that what happens is, as we start to get into the dark months, caffeine intake goes up because people need more energy. They wake up, they feel kind of tired, and they need to get going.
Yeah, I need to put the kettle on.
Get a caffeine hit to get you going. Yeah. Now, one of the things is that caffeine has a half-life of 5 hours, right? What that means is...
A radioactive half-life.
Well, everything has a half-life. Yeah, but yeah. Well, what that means is if you drink coffee, so you have a good hit of coffee, right? After 5 hours, you've got half the amount of coffee in your system that you had. After 10 hours, you've got 25%.
Wow.
Yeah. After 15 hours, you've got 12.5%. So, 15 hours after you've drunk a cup of coffee, you've still got 12.5% of the caffeine in your system.
Right.
Which is why caffeine becomes so addictive, and why even if you're drinking coffee in the afternoon, it can be keeping you awake at night.
Mm.
Yeah? So that you'll find in lots of places in Europe, people will drink coffee. It's like the Italians don't drink coffee in the afternoon. They drink this very strong coffee, but they have it in the morning. When you're in Italy, they say, would you like an espresso? Because the Brits are nuts and they drink espresso at night. But an Italian...
Laughing at us as they turn their backs.
Yeah. An Italian would never drink an espresso at night. You know, it doesn't fit with what they do.
It's rocket fuel, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, even I wouldn't do that.
So what that means is you drink an espresso at night, which is a very strong amount of coffee, and it's going to take you 15 to 20 hours to get that one cup of coffee out of your system.
Yeah, so even if you do manage to get to sleep, you're still, your brain's buzzing.
And it's a different kind of sleep, isn't it? It's a disturbed sleep.
Yeah. I kind of got off caffeinated coffee last year. I mean, it's not like heroin, so it wasn't particularly hard. I've tried heroin. It must be some kind of kick to it if people get that hooked. I'm intrigued by it, but I probably won't try it. But coffee, it was fine last year, a couple of weeks, no worries. And I did notice after a couple of weeks of no coffee last year that I was sleeping better, definitely. I mean, I can't prove it with science. I didn't do blood tests or samples. Yeah. But I definitely, not so much slept better, but I must have, because I woke up feeling much brighter naturally. I didn't need a coffee in the morning to just give me that little boost.
Yep.
Anyway, the last few months I've kind of drifted back onto coffee without knowing about it. Just, you know, if someone would ask if I wanted one, I'd say yes in the office, because I'm sharing an office now.
Yep.
With a few guys, so people ask if I want a coffee and I'll say yeah. So I'd got back into it, and especially when away, I was having lots of coffees every day in coffee shops. I'm talking quite fast here. Do you think Ree gave me a caffeinated coffee before?
I think that's what it was.
So I'd sound energetic in the podcast. I smell a rat.
A double shot.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got back into it, and especially when I was working as well, and doing a bit of work on his way, I would have a coffee. Anyway, I stopped drinking coffee when I got back last week, or a few days ago, in fact. Completely. I moved back to decaf because we have that at home. And 2 days after I'd stopped that, I got the worst headache I've had probably in my whole life. I don't get headaches at all, really. So this was really noticeable, and I'd actually got it in work, and I had to cycle home. And as I was cycling, my head was like, caving in. And I can't prove it, but I'm I reckon it's the caffeine.
Yeah. No, there's loads and loads of at least anecdotal evidence of people that do fasting and stuff, and the difficult thing to come off is the caffeine. And very often if someone's doing an exclusion diet and they've cut the caffeine out and they start to get the headaches, the easiest way to get rid of it is a cup of weak black tea, because black tea, also tea generally, has caffeine in it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But one of the problems is we think about caffeine as coffee. But if you think about the amount of caffeine that there is, just check the labels in fizzy drinks.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get...
Not just Red Bull.
Yeah, not just Red Bull. Just you check the labels. It's amazing what's got caffeine in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I will. I mean, I'm not sure, but... I mean, yeah, you were saying before I had a slice of chocolate cake again at Ree. I'm definitely sensing she's trying to poke me up for this podcast. Because I had a slice of chocolate cheesecake. There's caffeine in that, probably, yeah?
Yeah, well, there's high levels, especially dark chocolate. The darker the chocolate, the higher level of caffeine.
Oh.
Yeah?
Right.
And we keep thinking about that relationship between why do we get addicted to chocolate? You know, and one of the addictions is it gives us energy in the same way that coffee gives us energy.
It's like fuel. I need to speak to wifey because she's a chocolate addict. And she just suffered quite badly with migraines and stuff, so we're trying to get to the root cause of that.
Yeah.
Not that she ever... Well, she loves chocolate, so
yeah.
It's...
Very often there's a relationship between coffee, chocolate and migraines.
Okay. Well, what do you got next for us?
Okay, alcohol. He said, and I'm here with a glass of beer.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. I'm driving. I haven't even got a glass of water.
You sound deprived.
Go on.
Alcohol, Britain's favourite relaxant, right? So the idea is, for me, is that the amount of people I work with who, at the end of the day, they've had a tough day, so they go in and pop a cork and have a glass of wine to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah? But if they've had a good day, then they go home and pop a cork and have a glass of wine to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah? But it's the glass of wine.
And there's quite a bit of research to say a glass of red wine a day is good for you, whether that's... debunked now, or
there's cardiac issues with it's the antioxidants in the
terms of sleep,
not good. You end up, obviously, you know, a glass is okay, but people don't just drink a glass, do they? You get a different kind of sleep, you get a disturbed sleep, and you can end up, you've had a few drinks and you can wake up feeling more tired than when you went to bed. Because the sleep you had wasn't good sleep.
Yeah, and I guess more that if you're in that habit of having a glass of wine a night, which most people would agree is not ideal, but isn't, you know, it's not crazy, is it? I guess you kind of get in the habit of being tired in that way, don't you? So you don't realise.
Yeah, but what happens if you've drunk the alcohol, so in the morning you feel really tired, so what do? Go and have a good, strong cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're bouncing one chemical effect against the other.
Yeah.
Both of which are affecting our sleep patterns.
Mm.
Yeah? There's loads of evidence that in the winter, especially as you go north, places like Finland, the level of alcohol consumption in the winter becomes phenomenal. And they drink a kind of Polish spirit, which is like a strong vodka kind of stuff. And there is a point in Finland where they start to talk about suicide month because... people get so hooked into the darkness and into the addiction stuff that enables them to kind of survive the darkness that they end up with loads of problems. You know?
Blimey. Yeah. Well, my tipple of choice when I was a younger man on my Liverpool going out stage of life was quadruple vodka Red Bull. There's a bar on Slater Street called Slater's.
A quadruple vodka Red Bull.
Yeah.
And you're still alive.
I'm still alive. And because we were all skint back then. Well, some of us still are. But you could go to Slater's. And I think you still can on Slater Street in Liverpool. And we would go there first. And we'd get one of those each. And they were £3.50.
Yeah.
And basically, you could have that. I'm only little, so I only needed one. And then it's basically the only drink you needed all night. We'd then go to a bar and maybe get a few shots.
Yeah.
But try sleeping. Quadruple vodka Red Bull. I would sleep, but I would wake up just feeling so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Have crazy dreams.
Yeah.
Have a good night out, mind. But I'm not condoning that kind of...
But how long did it take you to recover from that before you...
Well, when I was a young man, blimey. I've never suffered from hangovers that much, but, you know, I'd still be feeling things on the Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just feeling a little bit spaced out.
I talk to people that do a good bender at the weekend, like regular benders, so a lot of alcohol, and a lot of people in Britain, although no one admits it, do a lot of cocaine. Mm-hmm. Cocaine is very, very popular in Britain.
So I believe.
So you end up with someone who's done alcohol and coke over the weekend, and they say they don't start to feel normal till about the Wednesday or the Thursday.
Okay.
And then they go out on the Friday. What do they do?
Yeah, no.
Not good.
Honestly, yeah, I haven't tried it, actually, honestly. It's one of the things I managed to avoid in my uni days. But plenty of my pals did, and I didn't ever really see the appeal. No. They didn't seem to be having that great a time on it, and they didn't make them better human beings. Anyway, carry on.
So I suppose the issue in that with alcohol is, like, you probably need to limit alcohol, but also, from a mindful point of view, observe the effect it has on you. There are some people that can drink certain kinds of drinks productively, and others knock them sideways. But it's like, how does your system work? You've got to know how your system works. And if you're going to drink, you have to drink mindfully.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can't drink, like, ales, like heavy, dark ales. Some people go to the pub and have 4 or 5 pints of them. I have 1 pint every now and again just to, like, feel part of the crowd. And it just sits in my stomach so badly, it doesn't feel right at all.
I like a glass of beer, and I like a glass of real kind of ale-y beer. I like that.
Yeah.
But I can't get, I've never been able to get people that can just pour fluid down their throat.
I know.
Because for me, it starts to come back up again. It's like, there's a limit to what I can hold.
Yeah, I was a fan of a shorter drink, generally. Give me a little whiskey and coke or something. Or
yeah, or maybe a red wine or something like that. Gin and tonic.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Chocolate. Chocolate is something in the winter, again, it goes up. We start to eat more chocolate, and we've got the caffeine in the chocolate. The darker the chocolate, the more the caffeine.
Yep.
Yeah. But one of the things is, and this always makes me laugh, is we know that caffeine affects the way that we can or cannot sleep. Yeah. Why do people get given a hot chocolate before they go to bed?
Oh, yeah, all warm and cozy. And
how many people do that? And it's like, what on earth are we doing?
It is a stimulant, right? Cacao, whatever it is. What do they do with some people? Well, where it's grown, they don't bother making chocolate out of it. They just kind of eat that plant, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
For the buzz.
And have a whoopee time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But chocolate's everywhere, man. I wonder how many years it'll be until we're enlightened enough to ban chocolate.
You could only eat chocolate outside in the street. You would like smoking.
Who would vote for that? Jeez.
Yeah.
But, I'm partial to it.
But the issue is, it's okay if you eat the chocolate earlier in the day, but if you think about the half-life issue with the caffeine, it can be hours before that effect comes out of your system.
Bethan's not going to like listening to this show, I tell you. So caffeine's out. She's a tea drinker, but that's caffeine's in tea, right?
Yep.
And chocolate's out. She sleeps like a log, I should say. We both do, but...
One of the things about chocolate... is that chocolate is usually part of a sweet. And one of the things that happens in sweets is sugar. Now, you've got kids. Do you know what it's like when your kids have an over-intake of sugar and they have a sugar spike?
I do.
Have you seen that?
I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've seen uncles, aunties and uncles giving my boys whole packets of Starburst at, like, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Thinking, what are you doing?
Yep.
Well, I've heard about it. Actually, they babysitted Will once. Friends of mine, and they gave him a whole pack of Starburst at 7:30 because he said to them, this 4-year-old at the time, that mummy and daddy would definitely let him eat all that, and they believed him. Yeah. Can't believe it.
So it isn't just the chocolate. When we're looking at sweets generally, you know, people are sat down, maybe watching the telly. What are they doing? What are they eating? And the amount of people that eat sweets in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's having the same effect. You're putting this stimulant into your system. So that when you come to go to sleep, your system's going, well, I'm not going to sleep. Now I'm already wound up.
Okay, so we got all these stimulants. I'm not trying to rush you along here, Sean. I'm just saying this is going to turn into an epic episode. We're half an hour in.
It's an epic issue.
So we've done the stimulants. Okay. Are the other don'ts?
That I've got here are hot, spicy foods and fatty foods. So fast foods. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the fats.
All the stuff that you really want at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Don't eat, basically.
Fast food, you know, when we're talking about KFCs, we're talking about McDonald's or burgers generally. We're talking about, you know, Chinese, Indian.
Pizza.
Pizza, cheeses on it.
Is that because it's just stuff that kind of sits in your tummy and doesn't digest very well?
Part of it is that it's sitting in your tummy, it's not digesting well. There's a situation called GERD. If you listen to this, you're interested, Google.
Triangle gurgle, isn't it?
Google GERD, yeah, which is GERD.
Okay.
And it's a gastroesophageal reflux issue. Lots of people have GERD. They have heavy meals, and then their sleep becomes disturbed because the top sphincter is leaking. So you start to get a kind of a heartburn feeling. A
horrible mental image,
which
then.
Might make you kind of grurp a bit.
And
if you're lucky... yeah, GERD and grip. If you're lucky, you'll inhale some as well. So you aspirate and then you end up coughing your head off in the middle of the night. Yeah,
yeah, that kind of reflux, which I don't get very often, thank you. But generally a sign that something's up.
It's estimated that you should not eat 3 hours before you go to sleep.
Hmm.
You know, to give your stomach a chance to push the food downwards so it doesn't come back up.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So if we're looking at the positive side, what can we do? Okay, number one is if you want a snack, eat bananas. If you want a snack in the night, eat a banana. In the afternoon, in the evening, eat a banana.
What about morning?
Yeah. Morning too.
It's kind of part of my morning ritual. I don't have breakfast generally. I'll have
a banana.
A decaf coffee and a banana when I get the office.
Someone said to me once that bananas are God's chocolate bars. You know, you just unwrap them and
eat
a banana.
They are pretty incredible things, aren't they, man? Blimey.
But it's the potassium and the magnesium in there that is going to help you regulate your system to sleep. Yeah, and if you're in the evening, you're much better eating things like that. So the things that have the same kind of effect would be potatoes, not chips, potatoes.
Oh, damn, I thought I was going to get away with some good stuff there.
Yeah. No. Things like potato, squash, yogurts, some fish, the same effect, and avocados, and amazingly, mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why is that so amazing?
Because mushrooms are usually seen as a very kind of neutral food.
Yeah.
Most amazing thing to do with the mushroom is get the mushrooms you buy in the supermarket, leave them on the windowsill for a couple of days, and they absorb vitamin D.
Wow.
And they can be one of the highest sources of vitamin D. They suck it up like a sponge.
My absolute favourite way to eat a mushroom is one that I've found in a supermarket, not in the woods. It's just to chop it up and eat it raw. I think they taste way better than if you cook a mushroom. I mean, I like cooked mushrooms.
Yeah.
But they're much nicer if you have them raw.
Yeah. Because one of the things is that our mushrooms that we buy in the supermarket usually have been grown in the dark, which is why they have no vitamin D in them. Whereas if you've got a wild mushroom or a field mushroom, it's full of vitamin D.
Right.
Because it's been out in the sun. Yeah.
Did not know that. Okay, that's really fascinating.
Okay, next one, thing that you should do. Tryptophan is an amino acid. You get it in some animal products and plant products. But the main one is milk. Yeah, but you do get it in bananas and things like peanuts
tryptophan.
And walnuts. Yeah. And, I mean, I don't drink milk. I don't like milk. But I drink, like, an almond milk or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a nut milk...
Coconut milk, that's pretty big at the moment.
Yeah.
It's pretty trendy.
But those things are going to have high levels of tryptophan in.
Right.
So that they will have that effect of calming your system and allowing you to sleep.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Wow, cool.
Okay, next one is the B vitamins. And if you're a woman and someone suggested to you that you take your busy bees, which is the B complex, to keep your energy up, one of the things that it does, it affects the hormones in your brain, which are like the serotonin and the melatonin, which enable you to sleep. When you get jet lag, you get melatonin deficiency. And if you're in the States, you can buy melatonin over the counter.
Yeah.
But very often when your sleep pattern is disturbed, it's because the melatonin level in your brain is disturbed. By using vitamin Bs either as a supplement, which many people use, or making sure that your food has got like a good level of vitamin B in it. So things like legumes, green vegetables, whole grains. We're back to the fish again.
I want to give a quick shout out to celery, which
like celery.
When I saw the title of the show, I immediately thought of celery because I'd just heard or read somewhere in the past few years that celery was good for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I googled it, and there's a couple of links I'll put in the show notes. But it is good for sleep, but it's also like many fresh fruit and vegetable things, it's good for loads of other things. It's a bit of a superfood. I am very partial to just a stick of celery, just to chew on.
Do you have a bit of salt on it, or do you dip it in anything?
No, no. I mean, if there's any hummus in the fridge, I may dip. But no, I don't. I'm not.
See, hummus,
I don't have to dip.
Hummus chickpeas has all that positive vitamin B, and also has the magnesium and the potassium, the
blog post I saw, magnesium was mentioned. And I think magnesium in general is linked to good sleep.
Magnesium, potassium. That's what you're getting out of the bananas, the avocados.
Cool.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff. Okay, green tea. I actually like green tea myself.
One of my office pals drinks nothing but green tea in the day.
Especially if you drink green tea with no milk in it. So that it's just like a black green tea, if you know what I mean.
I do.
That's
what he does, to be fair, yeah.
Well, that enables your melatonin levels, which is the sleep issue, jet lag issue. It gets the melatonin balanced.
I'll have to speak to my office pal, Mike, about it, because he drinks green tea and he's a bit of a food nut, actually, and he's experimented with various diets. In fact, we should have done this in our office and got Mike on to chip in with a few little tips, because he would have been listening in now, thinking, what are these guys talking about? He knows loads about all this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's green tea all day long.
So green tea, thiamine and theanine, and amino acid again, affecting the melatonin in your brain, getting it into sync.
Okay.
And the last one in the list is tart fruits.
It's a bit tart.
Like cherries, pineapples, those kinds of things. Yeah.
Okay. Not tart fruit pies.
No, not fruit pies. Yeah, but tart fruits can have that melatonin effect as well.
Mm.
Yeah. So I
fascinating. Okay.
I guess the issue here is eat well, sleep well.
Well,
but being aware of what it is that you're eating. You know, because the whole issue about seasonal affective disorder, SAD syndrome, depression. I'm getting to that point now. We're into September, October. The clock's going to go back. In November, the depression
just
starts.
Hits you like a sledgehammer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it does me, and I'm reasonably sound of mind, and so I know people that are prone to depression or changes in mood. Yeah, it must be a tricky time of year, because now it's September and early September. It's dark out. I mean, I know it's late, but it just seems like a week ago that I was playing out in a field at this time of night.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But the idea that we can actually affect our systems by what we're eating. You know, we think about affecting our systems by things like medication or stuff we put in it, but food is what we put in it. We're medicating ourselves with our food.
There are. Yeah. I mean, we've focused on food in this. There are a lot of other ways you can affect your sleep, like exercise and that kind of thing, fresh air, yada yada.
Yeah.
I guess instinctively what people link to sleep is like a hard day's work, in it, good old grafting, which probably does help you sleep, but it's the quality of said sleep.
Yeah, see, I would think that maybe the reverse is true, is that if in the winter, as we're starting to wind down, or we should be winding down into that kind of semi-kind of hibernation state, that if we work less, relax more, sleep better, and we'd probably be more effective in the work that we did do.
Yeah. Productivity, guys. If there are any MPs or ministers listening to this show, drop us a line.
Yeah.
Our fees are very reasonable. Well, mine are.
Mine aren't. No.
And they represent marvellous value to Joe Taxpayer. Have you got a resource of the week?
Well, I'm going to call up this blog.
Yeah, article. Okay.
Yeah,
fair dues.
Thenestmaven.com. Yeah. So we'll put that in as a link.
We will.
But they also go in that article, if you read into it, they're looking more, they look at some of the food stuff, and then they look at the other issues about, you know, take your IT out of your bedroom and that kind of stuff, change your environment, make your sleep space more like sleeping.
Cool. All right, have a look at that. I'm going to link to, or I will do, I haven't got it in the show notes yet, a BBC documentary I saw a couple of years ago about fasting and the benefits of fasting, which is loosely linked to, or directly linked to effects on sleep, and just kind of that harmonising of your levels of various minerals in your body. And
fasting gives your system the chance to kind of reboot. It's like turning your computer off and letting it boot up again.
Well, I inadvertently have this kind of long fasting period every day now. My diet has changed just by like my lifestyle in terms of busyness in the mornings. I don't eat anything really till 11:30-ish when I get really hungry and I'm ready for my lunch. And then I'll have lunch and I'll have tea with the boys, the fam, at like 5, 5:30.
Yep.
And then I won't eat again till 11:30 the next day.
Yep.
Unless I'm super ravenous and I'll have a banana or a stick of celery.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do have chocolate, I must admit. But I don't know. I need to get a cholesterol check, actually, because I'm due one. But I'm interesting to know because I don't know. I feel good.
I need to lend you a heart blood pressure monitor, don't I?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Do we know what we're talking about next week? I'm not sure
we
do, but it'll be lovely.
I should be in Qatar next week, so we
we're going to do some energetic over-the-air ones.
We'll be on the ball,
and
right?
Wi-Fi will be working. And we'll
I get good Wi-Fi.
No mucking around. livingthepresent.co.uk, website for all the show notes and links. Check out the everything on there and stick your email address in the box if you wish to hear more from us. And that's it. Drop us a line, by the way, if there is anything you would like us to discuss.
Yep.
We do like getting emails from listeners, feedback. Yep. Have yourselves a great week. Sean, you take care.
And you.
See you next time.
See ya, bye.
Bye.
That's cute.
Buzzing.